Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Live from the Combine in Indianapolis, day three and the final show from the Combine.
Are you sad?
John Schmelk, Anita Marks, I'm a little sad.
Right.
We have a lot of fun out here, absolutely.
It's been an exciting 3 days.
And you can see, he's working the phones.
All I'm really doing is just retweeting that you guys sent the tweet out that
we appreciate this.
Yeah.
That's really sweet considering you've got like 15 times the followers that John and I have combined because you're such a stud.
Well, and they're all robots. And the stud to our left is Jason Lockon, for NFL Insider. Of course, does a fantastic job. And Jason, obviously, you've been listening around here in the combine. You got the guys in the field, but you also have a ton of stuff going on behind the scenes with general managers, with players, and things like that. A lot of franchise tags get applied during this time. What are you hearing? What's going on behind the scenes in terms of general managers preparing for the free agency period, which is now about 2 weeks away?
Yeah, and you're right. As much as we talk about the draft and you know, people think of the combine, the first thing they think of is the draft. This week is about a whole lot more than that, and there's a lot of business that needs to get conducted before teams are even thinking about setting their draft boards or addressing particular needs through the draft, you know, and focusing on particular prospects. So you're right. It's about figuring out the franchise tag, figuring out your budget, figuring out your salary cap situation. Which guys do you still need to go to and say, hey, you got to take a haircut or we're going to have to go in a different direction? You know, all those uncomfortable things that go with the business of football, you're right, they're underway. I mean, if you're in any of these bars around here, you know, at any point in the afternoon or evening, you're going to see agents sitting at a table with general managers or cap guys or both. And that's not a coincidence. They're talking about players who are currently on their roster who they need to address and or free agents that agent represents.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had this conversation on the show so far this week, and that is, to me, there's no greater week to be in one city, especially, I mean, you break news. You know, we cover, you break, especially for guys like you and Adam Schefter and all these guys that break news. There's no better city to be in because you're around every owner,
right.
Every general manager, every head coach, coordinators, agents.
Yeah, everybody's
here. And it's just, it literally is a wealth of information.
Yeah. Well, and it's a small area. The downtown is not that big. There's only so many places you can really go to. I think more teams and agents have tried to just do business maybe in a suite at a hotel. And not maybe, you know, at a bar or a restaurant where everybody can see it. I think some people make a little bit more of an effort to be covert than others. But really, this is the hot stove league. This is baseball's winter meetings.
Yep.
But they just don't call it that. They call it the combine, and people, you know, focus on, again, I think the average American, the average football fan, thinks of the combine, and it's all about the draft. It's not. It's really not all about the draft.
All right, so let's get ready for free agency. The Giants, obviously, are expected to be pretty big players. They have a lot of resources to spend. The question's going to be is who's going to be on the market to spend those resources on.
Right.
Who do you think is not going to get to free agency, whether a franchise tag or a long-term extension? I know the Broncos were apparently talking to Von Miller, trying to extend him. And obviously, who's not going to be there? Then maybe some fans think, oh, you know what, I would really love to get that guy on my team.
Yeah, I mean, if you have interest in Von Miller, he's going to be tagged. I don't think they're going to get a long-term deal done quickly. They'll get it done eventually, but he'll be tagged. Josh Norman's going to be tagged. Mo Wilkerson is going to be tagged, but I would just say he's in a little different situation because I could still see a trade being a possibility.
You know, you're the third or fourth person that's told us that this week.
Yeah, I mean, a trade would not shock me given the
second round.
If I'm them, I'm holding out for a first-round pick.
Really?
The guy just turned 26. I mean, if I'm the Jets and I'm marketing Muhammad Wilkerson, I'm saying, He's not even really in his prime. He could play three or four different positions. He's next to J.J. Watt, you know, the best in breed at what he does.
Yeah.
And let's say it's going to cost you a lot of money to sign him, but if you sign him and he addresses a particular need for you, who in the first round of this draft over the next 3 years is going to outproduce him? Like, is there going to be a defensive lineman in this draft who – now, years 4 and 5, I get it. Now he's over 30 and that kid might, but – you've got, you know, at least you got 4 seasons before the guy turns 30. So which of these kids would you go and say, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be better than Muhammad Wilkerson starting day one of 2016 and for the next 4 seasons?
And on top of that, who on the free agent market can you say, I'd rather spend money on this guy than
spend
it on Wilkerson?
No, he'd be the best free agent available. Now, some might say Von Miller if Von's available, but I talked to some personnel people who say no, because not that edge rushers are everywhere, but there's a decent number of elite edge rushers in the NFL. And you can kind of get them sometimes on the back end and still get production out of them. But there's just not a lot of Mo Wilkersons walking around. I mean, he's J.J. Watt, light.
So, hypothetical throwing out your way now. Giants trade down from 10. and they get another second round. They trade down. They do something. They get like maybe another second round pick, another third round pick. And then they use that low end one to trade for Mo.
Oh, I think, yeah. I mean, if that.
Is that.
If that were able
is that,
to.
Is that an A grade for Giants if that happens?
Yeah. I mean,
what would be the perception out there if that happens?
No, I mean, I don't know who could hate on that. I mean,
well, here's the trick, though. Can you wait that long to make the trade? Because at that point, you have to have a lot of cap space left to then afford to sign him if you wait till the draft. And you're taking a chance then.
Right.
Because you're counting on making that move on draft night when you don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and the Jets as well, how long do they want to be carrying that $16 million cap figure? You know, they don't have their quarterback yet. They got to sign Fitzpatrick. Obviously, he's going to cost them money.
Snacks Harrison, who's also a player.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I don't think they really have much of a fighting chance to keep him. I think he's going to do very well in free agency. But you're right. They would probably want to get that deal done in March and not the end of April. But, things happen at the draft. So that wouldn't shock me. I mean, as to other guys who won't hit the market, I mean, I can't imagine the Dolphins let Olivier Vernon hit the market. I know they're sort of hemming and hawing
about it. I'm hearing sign and trade with him as well.
That wouldn't shock me because he's a guy who they value, but I don't think they value him the way the market might. But they know we can't let him just get to the market and then lose him for a compensatory pick in 2017. So that wouldn't shock me, especially, again, given the dearth of pass rushers who are going to be available. I think a guy like Robert Ayers is going to do really well because who's he competing with?
Do they have to do something with Sue in order to fit Vernon?
No, I mean, Sue's got a high base salary. They could if Mike Tannenbaum wants to do what he did before, keep running that credit card bill up and pushing it out a year and pushing that, he could do it.
Right.
If I'm them and I'm looking at his performance in year one, I always looked at that as 3 years, $60 million. I don't want to now start guaranteeing the fourth year.
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean? Like, if this is what he was last year, now you can bring in a new regime and all that, and maybe he'll be better. But I don't want to start really realistically turning that into a 4- and 5-year deal when really it was $60 million guaranteed over the first three, and then it's pay as you go.
You mentioned Ayers. How about JPP? What do you think about him?
I mean, obviously, it's such an unusual situation. There's not a template for it. You're making projections. I just think it makes a whole lot of sense for him to come back here where they've already dealt with this. The locker room understands. I mean, I would imagine – I can't imagine what he goes through every day. And just looking at his hand and being uncomfortable about it. And it's just – you know, it's sort of like the elephant in the room where these guys, it's all – you know, I'm sure they're probably already making jokes about it. You know what I mean? They've gotten through the awkward part of it. Right. You know what
first,
I mean? He's just one of the guys.
It was interesting. At first, when JPP first came back and he was in the locker room and he was walking around, he kind of – if you recall, he held his hand down here. He kind of hit it a little bit. But let me tell you something. After, like, the first 3 weeks,
Nobody cared anymore.
You know, he talks a lot with his hands and you know, he's sitting at his locker and he's not hiding. I mean, it was kind of like – it is what it is, and everybody just, you know, and also I felt like JPP came in. It was a different attitude. You know, I mean, he was just, I mean, this is a guy who, there were talks that maybe he wasn't going to be able to play again.
Right.
And here he is back in a Giants locker room playing. He just had and Jerry Reese spoke to the media yesterday, and he said, listen, that's a miracle story.
Yeah.
It is. And if you really look at it, it is a miracle story that he was able to play. And who knows how good? We don't know what his ceiling is going to be. We really don't know.
And I just think it makes a lot of sense for all. But look, they were able to work the contract out under duress last year. He is comfortable with everybody there. He knows his teammates. He knows the coaches. He's comfortable with the doctors. I mean, look, this book isn't written. There's still going to be different apparatuses. You know, there's going to be things that they. I just think for a lot of reasons, and there's a mental component to all this as well. Like, you know, this wasn't just a physical injury. I mean, this
is
something he's living with the rest of his life.
Well, we had Garofolo on yesterday, and Garofolo said that he's hearing that there's going to be some teams that are going to be throwing out some solid cash his way.
Well, and I think you asked a great question, Anita. Is it more likely, Jason, that you're going to get a long-term contract, or is this going to be kind of like a one-year, let's see what he can do, and then maybe they'll readdress it next year?
Look,
what do you think?
They can dress these things up however they want. I mean, you could do a 5-year deal that's really a 1-year deal. It happens all the time. I mean, how much guaranteed money is there at the time of signing, and when does it expire? In other words, is it all paid out in year one, or you know, are there some roster bonus and things in year two and year three that are pretty much going to bind that player to your team because they're already guaranteed at the time of signing? I don't think he's going to be getting guaranteed money into year two and year three. I think it's going to be something of a prove it contract and. I don't know. It's going to be again. Obviously, we haven't seen anything like this quite before. I have a feeling when he tests the market, the end of the day, I just have a hunch I could see him staying with the Giants, but that's just a hunch for now.
Another thing Jerry Reese said to the media yesterday is, listen, the Giants know him better than anyone else.
That's what I'm saying, and he knows them, and with everything else that he's going through, I just think this would be – now, look, if someone's putting out their ridiculous money, it is what it is. But if this market is what I think it's going to be, I just think for a lot of reasons, football, just heart, mind, soul, body, the whole nine yards, I think the Giants are going to make a lot of sense for him. But maybe I'm misreading the market.
If you're a team like the Giants and you're heading into this free agent period with, you know, their top five in terms of resources available, how do you attack it? Do you target one or two top guys early and try to get that done in the first few hours? Can you have the luxury of trying to find somebody that maybe you don't have to overpay as much as you want? Well, how do you approach it?
I can tell you how they're approaching it. Is they're you know, as soon as that sort of whatever we're calling it, the non-tampering period starts, you know, they already know there's going to be 20 to 30 players who they're comfortable with at a certain price point. Now, of that 20 to 30, there's probably 5 to 7 who are sort of like the top list guys, like their primary targets. But you know you can't get those guys. You can't just focus in on one individual at each position. Now, at a position like wide receiver, that list is probably a little longer than a position like pass rusher or tackle, just because there's not going to be many of them out there. You know, whereas you know, there is going to be decent depth at the wide receiver position. And then, you know, you're playing the game. You're seeing who's offering what and at which point. You know, does a Mohamed Sanu stop making sense and you go to plan B or plan C or whatever? You know, how much can you allocate for this potential Mo Wilkerson thing? Or does it just start to look like a pipe dream to you and, you know, you've got to address your defensive line through other means?
In regards to the wide receiver position, Mohamed Sanu is a name that we talked about on the show, Travis Benjamin.
Marvin Jones, another.
It seems like there are a lot of, and again, I do this often, and I hate to because players hate it, but I do classify wide receivers as wide receivers. I look at Alshon Jeffrey as a one, but I don't think he's leaving Cleveland. I see a lot of twos out there. Which really,
twos
at the end of the day,
threes, yeah.
Giants have their number one
when
and Odell Beckham.
Yeah,
I know.
That's what they're. Yeah, they don't need Batman. They just need Robin.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of Robins out there.
Besides Sanu, besides Travis Benjamin, two guys that we talk about, and Marvin Jones, as you said, some other guys low on the radar that kind of you like?
Yeah, I don't like this free agent class a whole lot to begin with. You know,
there's nothing sexy about it.
It's not very sexy, and a lot of guys are going to get overpaid just because the cap is going up, and there's teams like the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars who aren't even at that 89% floor that everybody has to hit. Even if they have Confederate money and they can't give it away, if you stack enough of it up, somebody's going to take it. So that's going to sort of tilt the market on its axis a little bit at whichever positions they do that. How do those ripples sort of play out, and what does that mean for other players? I would not want to be a team that's wading in deep to this free agent class thinking they're going to solve a bunch of their issues. If you can pick one or two of those top five or seven guys, that's great. And maybe you make a minor trade, and then you need to obviously kick booty in the draft. But when you're talking about the high-end guys at these positions, and I'm like, then depth. You know, look, and maybe people explore restricted free agency more as well. Damn. Maybe that market gets a little more action, and you see teams saying, well, rather than do that, I'll try to sign this low-end guy to an offer sheet that maybe his team won't match.
Final question for me, the corner market. Not a lot of names out there. Sean Smith's the name that gets mentioned as one of the top guys. And the Giants obviously have Prince Amukamara. Does the market at corner – with that low number of guys really help Prince in this free agent period?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, what does – we talked about Josh Norman. Obviously, he's not going to hit the market. But, you know, what does happen at the high end? You know, can a guy like Sean – when I talk to teams, I hear 7, maybe 8 million on Sean Smith.
Really, that's it, huh?
But
wow.
That's not what he's aiming for.
No, absolutely.
That's what I'm hearing from teams. And then when you talk to agents and how they value it, it's like, oh, well, that guy's got to get 10 because, you know – this guy got that, and that guy got that. And I mean, we'll kind of have to see. To me, the Rams are going to what the Rams do will have major ramifications.
They have two guys.
Their whole secondary's up. Yeah. They've got two corners and two safeties. They want to keep one corner and one safety. Do they end up having to use the transition or franchise tag? Do they go out and give Janoris Jenkins the 15 he's trying to get per year, or do they work something out with Trumaine Johnson, who a lot of teams I think prefer, especially if that price point is 11 or 12? What they end up doing between now and Tuesday I think will go a long ways to seeing what the, you know, what some of these actual numbers for corners should be.
My last question for you, offensive lineman out of the Ravens, his name escapes me.
Osemele.
There you go. Ozzie has put himself in a very non-Ozzie-like situation in regard to how he spent money the past few years. And, of course, Joe Flacco making the $20 million. What happens with him? Is that an offensive lineman you think the Giants might make a call
to? I think he's the best offensive lineman available. I think he's the best guard, and he might be a pretty darn good tackle as well. He's dabbled at right tackle and left tackle in a pinch, and he's been, you know, more than adequate. They made their bed when they signed Marshall Yanda to a high-end guard deal. I mean, they now, you know,
Yanda, Pitta, Joe.
Yeah, no, they've. I mean, Ray Rice was still on their books last year. Yep. I mean, they've had a lot of cap issues for a while there. And the way they've structured their contracts, I think some people would think is a little bit outdated. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, you have to pay the piper at some point. You can't keep everybody. And, again, given how limited this market is, I think Kelechi Osemele is going to do very well. And he may parlay this into getting tackle money at the guard spot, and the team might, you know, then he might be there. You know, look, he probably is better than some of the right tackles in this league for sure already.
So if he ends up in New York, thumbs up.
Yeah, no, I think he's best of breed.
Okay.
Along the offensive line, I think he's gonna do very well though. I think, you know, he's gonna break the bank.
Jason, real fast, favorite veteran safety that's gonna be available in free agency.
I mean, I like Eric Weddle a ton, but, you know, he's going to get north of $8 million, and he's over 30 years old. Like, you better be a team that's real close, and he's the missing piece. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a team like the Jags who do that, by the time they're really contending, if they ever do, he's done. But I think Eric Weddle still has a couple of really good years left in him. But you're gonna pay the price. You're going to be paying for what he did in the past.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.